Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from deep in the Eublepharis galaxy, on a small planet called Gekonia, east of the albino hills and south of the raging leucistic river, comes the one, the only, Gecko Nation Radio.
Happy New Year, citizens of Gekonia. This is the very first show of 2014. Today is January 5th. It's a great pleasure to have a new hobbyist on the show with us tonight as a guest. Now, as you guys know, we interview some of the biggest names and most prominent people in the gecko and herp community. And our mission is also to highlight good and positive people that, you know, aren't such huge names in the community. And I really want to go out of my way to give recognition to people that deserve to be recognized and just would benefit the community that if everybody knew who they were and could get to know them better. So tonight, we have one of those amazing hobbyists. His name is Jeff Scott. He's definitely a positive force in the gecko community in particular. Now, he does a lot of posting on Facebook groups and has excellent taste in geckos, I might add. And I spoke with Jeff today, and today was the first time I ever spoke with him. And our conversation kind of was just an easygoing conversation. I kind of felt like I knew the guy for a long time. Had a lot of things in common. It's just one of those phone calls that just didn't take a lot of energy. So I have no doubt that it's going to be a great show. I have a surprise co-host tonight. Some of you guys may know, but some of you guys may not know. But Marcia McGinnis of Golden Gate Geckos will be my co-host tonight. So I'm really excited to talk with her as well. As you guys know, I love Marcia. And I just want to tell you guys that today was a rough day for me. It was a great day, but a rough day. Yesterday at 11 a.m., Saturday, was the last time I slept. And I basically spent all day Saturday packing up for the White Plains Reptile Expo. Labeling my geckos, getting my table displays finished. Excuse me. I went out of my way this year to build new displays so that I could put all my deli cups in these cases, and it basically gave me a big sense of peace that I didn't have to really watch my table so hard about, you know, so anybody was stealing anything. And when you have deli cups just strewn over your table, and it's like an 8-foot-long table at an expo, and there's like 20 people hovering around trying to see what you have, you can't watch everybody. And even if you have somebody there helping with you, it can get very, very stressful trying to keep track, okay? And there are, unfortunately, 99% of the people that come to these shows are excellent people, awesome, honest, you know, reptile enthusiasts. But there are some very calculated thieves out there that will basically distract you and ask you a million and one questions about geckos. And while you're focusing on them, trying to help them with their questions, you know, doing the right thing, their friends will be on the other end of the table stealing your geckos. To make these cases, it made the show go a lot better for me. And as you guys know, I am claustrophobic as hell at reptile shows. Because of it's always hot, it seems, okay, number one. And I feel like I'm in a very closed space with a million people, which is pretty much the case. So it's a struggle for me to get through these shows. Even though I love them, and I love getting to see everybody, and I love getting to see all the animals, it's very stressful for me. And I basically did it all day today on no sleep. And I drove 2 hours to the show this morning and 2 hours back in an ice storm, freezing rain. So I just got like a little bit of a rest. I closed my eyes for about a half an hour just now. So if I'm a little out of it today for this show, don't blame me, guys. But you know what? I think it may be a good thing, too, because maybe it'll spark some more creativity in my brain or something. You never know how things work. Going on no sleep. Oh, excuse me. But thank God for coffee. Let's see. A bunch of things going on out there. And one of the most important things that I want to say is thank you all for making the beginnings of Gecko Nation Radio in 2013 such a huge success. I've put all of my creativity, all of my insight, all of my blood, sweat, and tears into this show, okay? And I don't even feel that I've really tapped all of my creative potential yet. So you guys can look forward to some interesting things in the future. And the team I'm putting together is amazing. Now, you know, I got the most creative news anchor on the planet. He's not always good at pronouncing names, but he's good at everything else. Steve is, I wouldn't be able to do this show without Steve. So, but even Steve and I are got some amazing ideas. So I hope you guys will like what we put together for 2014. And one other thing I want to mention, Gecko Nation group on Facebook. I love this group. If you're fed up with Facebook groups, if you're the type of person that is basically giving up on Facebook because of all the drama and the insanity of some places, there is a refuge for you, okay? And it is called Gecko Nation. Join this group. It is a breath of fresh air. Yeah, there's a few troublemakers in there, but they're not making trouble. Everybody is on their best behavior, and they're helpful, and they're happy, and they're helping everyone, and they're having a good time, and they're posting their pictures. And it's amazing. It's what people should strive to make the reptile community look like online. And we don't always make ourselves look great. We need to make ourselves look good to the outside world, everyone. And I hope everybody can hear me and try to think about that, because we're being scrutinized by outside forces that want to take our hobby away from us. How we look to the outside world, they're doing everything they can to make us look like the most terrible people in the world for loving these animals and for keeping our pets. And it doesn't matter. It's not about reptiles. These are our pets. You guys got to make us look good to the outside world. Make us look responsible. They think we're a bunch of misfits, weirdos, lunatics. And sometimes on Facebook, some of us make us look that way. We got to think about what we post. All right? And that's all I'm going to say about that. Gecko Nation Radio would not be possible without its amazing sponsors. Please take advantage of what they're doing for not only for the show, but also what they're doing for you. Contact them. Help their businesses, because they're helping you by bringing this show to everyone. And they're also going to go one step further, and they're going to give you discounts. AB Dragons is going to give you 5% off your orders by typing Gecko in the checkout thing. Rainbow Mealworms just did an awesome campaign for the end of 2013, where everybody got $10 credit for typing Gecko Nation in checkout. And the other sponsors, Thad Ohio from Ohio Gecko. Ohio Gecko is now a sponsor. Let them know that you love the show and you're glad that they sponsor it. They're going to hook you up. John Scarrow, amazing breeder. Tell him you love Gecko Nation Radio. He's going to say, oh, you're a good fella. I like you. And he's going to give you half price on every order. No, I'm just kidding. He's probably going to take care of you, though. And all the other sponsors, of course. MS2, Marcy. We love you, Marcy. Marcy, I don't know how much free roach chow Marcy's Given Away in 2013. In fact, I didn't even know who this woman was. She was contacting me back in 2013, wanting to send me some green dust in a bag. And I'm like, who is this lady? And she tried to give it to everybody. And everybody was like, who is this lady? But she networked, and she got the roach chow, and people took her up on the free bags of roach crack. And now it's famous. And that's the truth. And now we all love Marcy for it. So let's support these people because they're doing good in the community. I think where we send our money is so important. It's like one of the last few things that we actually can do powerful. A lot of us don't have a ton of money, but where you send it, in which direction, makes all the difference. Don't send it to, you know, bad sources or, you know, send it to the good people. Help the good people. Help the people that are helping you. Check out these amazing sponsors, everybody, or else I'm just going to talk all day. Here you go.
Gecko Nation Radio is a David's Fine Geckos creation and production. You can visit the show's Facebook page at Gecko Nation Radio. I also have a great family-friendly group on Facebook called Gecko Nation. Apply for membership today. Gecko Nation Radio is sponsored by abdragons.com, is your source for the highest quality dubia roaches, whether you're starting a colony of your own or just need feeders for your insect-eating herps. abdragons.com can't be beat in quality or price. They are also a huge distributor of FlexWatt reptile heat tape and have very competitive pricing. Check out abdragons.com online and on Facebook. And if you're looking for quality food for your dubia roaches, crickets, mealworms, and superworms, look no further than MS2 Premium Insect Chow. Made with reptiles in mind, it contains no dog food, cat food, or chicken mash. Using only vegetable proteins and high-quality ingredients, MS2 Premium Insect Chow will have your feeders making a beeline for it. Contact mstent.weebly.com, or it can also be purchased at Rainbow Mealworms and AB Dragons. Rainbow Mealworms is the largest worm grower in the world and selling to the public since 1956. If you need the highest quality mealworms, superworms, and crickets for your pets, contact them at www.rainbowmealworms.net. Dale's Bearded Dragons is your one-stop source for any reptile supply products that you may need, from Exoterra, Zoomed, Rapashi, Repcal, Fluker, and much, much more, and all at 20 to 50% cheaper than your local pet store or big chain pet store. They are also the biggest reptile supply distributor at most of the Northeast Expos. Contact them directly online at dalesbeardeddragons.com or message me on Facebook and I'll put you in touch with the owner. Gecko Boa Reptiles is your source for the highest quality leopard gecko morphs and wild types, from white and yellows to radars, amazing tremper morphs, and rare subspecies. John is a world-class breeder and extremely knowledgeable. If you're looking for something truly special in geckos, contact John Scarborough at geckoboa.com and on Facebook.
Okay, everybody. I'd like to also give a special shout-out to a few people that I saw today at the show. Okay. Number one, thank you, everybody that picked up geckos for me. Awesome. I sold a gecko that I probably shouldn't have to Jay, but he's very happy about it. What's up, Jay? You're bragging about that gecko, I know. Jay talked me into getting rid of the darkest gecko that I have in my collection, which is the Black Pearl Patternless D Project Gecko. And it still hurts a little bit, but the stack of cash is nice, too. But it went to a good home. So thank you, Jay. I want to say also that it was awesome meeting Drew from Serpent City Exotics, and me and Drew were able to get a photo together, which is cool. Then Drew's been cracking me up for about 2 years now on YouTube and on Facebook, so it was nice meeting him. And he and the boys from Crawling Critters, that other radio show, they don't do it anymore. I think they're going to hopefully start it up again at some point. They're going to be on soon, so you can count on that. That should be a fun time. Also, everybody, if you're new to geckos, okay, and, you know, you're not big on Facebook and, you know, you do a lot of, you want to get, like, information of the history of genetics and breeders and who's who and all the big names and the whole, you know, hardcore gecko groups, you got to check out Gecko Forums. So check this out.
Did you know that since 2006, there's been a treasure trove of history and information on leopard geckos and other species? Well, Gecko Forums is the most extensive database of leopard gecko history on the web right now. Take a look and delve into the past, present, and future of this great community. The biggest contributors, breeders, and hobbyists have left their mark there. Now it's your turn. Look, learn, and post away. Need a place to post animals for sale? Look no further. Visit geckoforums.net and become a member today. Gecko Nation Radio is proud to be the official radio show associated with Gecko Forums.
And, you know, Thad from Ohio Gecko runs Gecko Forums, and Ohio Gecko is now a sponsor, like I said. I don't think I saw Thad today at the show. I saw Matt Baronic from Sasebec. He was there even though he had a pneumonia. See, guys, we suffer for our geckos. I'm telling you. It's the truth. And my favorite new co-host, Mandy, was there. Mandy's always a bunch of fun. I don't know. The show was great. What else can I say? I'm going to stop blabbing, and I am going to bring on my awesome co-host, who I'm sure has some things to say for the new year. Let's go ahead and grab Marcia, or as she's known to some people as the mean old gecko lady. Miss Marcia, you are live on Gecko Nation Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy New Year to everybody. This is going to be a great year. This is going to be a great year.
There's some good energy out there, isn't there, Marcia?
There sure is. And, there's a lot of people who are, you know, like you said earlier in your intro, are fairly new to the hobby. And, I mean, these people, are going to be a force to be reckoned with. And one of those people is our guest, Jeff Scott. So I'm really excited to have him, and I'm also excited to be a co-host on tonight's show. And thank you all for listening in and contributing to, you know, all this positive energy that's going out to help make 2014 the best year as far as people working together. So let's just make it so.
Make it so, just like Captain Picard would say.
That's right. Make it so.
I love Captain Picard. He's the best captain out of all the Star Trek.
Of course, I came from the you know, the original Star Trek series era. So, you know, I've always had a kind of a thing for James T. Kirk. But, you know, there's something to say about Picard. He's got some class, that guy.
He really does. And you know what? As for a man that's, you know, he's so confident. He doesn't have any hair. He's a bald man. And he just pulls it off so well. He's like, just like you said, real class. And you know, he's like a trained. From what I've read, he's a trained Shakespearean actor. So he's like
That's
really,
right.
Yeah. He was knighted by the Queen.
He's
right?
on stage trained. I mean, this guy's trained in classical acting as well as character acting. So that's pretty cool. And you know what, Dave? Him being bald doesn't mean squat.
I know, but you would think, though, that, you know, what I'm trying to say by that is, you know, I'm bald too, but he pulls
it
off like
that.
He pulls it off like he's super confident. You know what I mean? Like the baldness doesn't even matter to him, and he seems like from his initial appearance, he seems like an unlikely choice to be the captain of a Star Trek show. And you know, you would think they would want to put a big, you know, more masculine, tough guy kind of look to that. But I think they couldn't have chosen a better person, and I'm glad
we
agree on that.
Oh, yeah. The guy is hot, I'm telling you. Okay, enough of that.
That's cool, though. I'm glad that we got a chance to give him some credit, though. I'll say one more thing on that. I didn't live in the 60s when the first Star Trek came out. But I went back and watched it on Netflix, and I'm sorry, but I couldn't watch it. It was terrible. I mean, but I think for its time, it was ahead of its time. So if I was growing up there in the
exactly.
comics, you know.
Oh, yeah, right. For its time, it was so far advanced in as far as special effects goes. You know, it was way, way, way ahead of its of time at that point. But, you know, then Star Wars came out and all of Lucas's, fantastic special effects. And then you go back and watch those old original Star Trek reruns, you know, and just go, But what was your favorite episode of the old one?
Jeez. Yeah, I only watched a couple of them, and I couldn't watch them anymore. I'm sorry. I couldn't get into it.
I think I've watched it enough times to even, know some of the, some of the talking back and forth underlying reasons for what they've said that went clear over my head in the 60s when I was a kid in school.
Well, you know, let me tell you, science fiction is an escape for people that are very smart. Because when you're very smart, nothing against football or baseball. When you're very smart, your head is thinking about the most universal questions. And your head is going to be, your brain is going to be on space. Because that's the biggest thing that we could possibly think about. And so most very highly intelligent people seek out these outlets, such as science fiction, and I think it can expand people's minds. Even people that aren't into science fiction, if they give it a chance, it really makes you think about the big questions, and I think it can make people smarter, because a lot of these concepts in science fiction are coming true in reality, are becoming science fact. You know, if they make new, you could go back and watch the oldest science fiction films, and these gadgets and ray guns that they're shooting, we're making all that stuff now. So, you know what I mean? It's
absolutely
inspiring.
I know what you're talking about, because I'm an avid science fiction and fantasy reader myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that genre mainly for escapism, and for the very reason that you said. My brain doesn't shut off.
I know.
It keeps going and going and going. And so I have to have something, a positive outlet to distract me. From that, and it puts me in a different space where my imagination, can take over. I mean, and you know what, Dave, you and I've had some pretty awesome late night conversations about these very things that you were just mentioning about, things that can stimulate your brain, and I think that's and we can tie that in to our love and hobby of geckos.
I was just gonna say, Marcia, let me just jump in here. We have solved the mysteries of the universe in some of our late night conversations. And I believe that people that have found geckos are intelligent. Because you know what? You gotta be smart to really seek this type of thing out, and it's just people in the gecko community are not idiots. We're definitely above average intelligence, most of us anyway. And speaking of above average intelligence, let us bring on our guest tonight, who is Jeff Scott from the Megalia. I hope I said that right.
Megalia
Gecko Project.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that's a town in California where he lives. And let's go ahead and get
it. I know right where it is too.
Yeah, he said he knows where you live, too. Mr. Jeff, you are live on Gecko Nation Radio.
Oh, cool. Hello,
yay,
everybody.
Yay.
Marcia, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Jeff. We're so glad to have you on the show, and I just know you're going to just blow our minds and blow our socks off with, with who you are and what you are and what you do. So welcome.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. Thank you, Dave.
You're very welcome. Can you fill those expectations, Jeff?
But gosh, I hope so.
he comes by it naturally, okay? I didn't mean to put any pressure on you.
I wasn't nervous. Now I am. Gosh.
You are not. I don't think so.
No, not at all, really. Yeah, no, it's the whole positive thing. That's great. I love the intro.
Hey, Jeff, listen. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, when you guys were talking about, you know, you didn't like sports or, I mean, they're great and everything and all that. You know, growing up, I never really was into, like, football or baseball or anything like that. My heroes were, like, Einstein, Tesla, Oppenheimer, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that, which was...
Madame Curie?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I anything. What's his name? Isaac Asimov or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No, I read all of that stuff. Always in my own little world kind of a thing.
Yep. I think it's important, like, for people that are thinking that we have those outlets. For me, it was always Lord of the Rings, and I read a lot of Arthur
Clarke. That was a good one, The Hobbit, the whole trilogy, yeah. Chronicles mm-hmm. of Narnia, all of those. That's weird. You
and
guys
you know,
like that stuff, too.
It's
you
awesome.
Know what I like. You know what I like about reading the books over seeing it on, you know, the screen is that very rarely does can they depict what our imaginations, conjure up as we're reading.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And I think that's why it's important to read and you know for escapism because it actually forces your brain.
Yeah.
You know, to visualize, what's going on in the story.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it does, definitely.
Hey, Jeff, before we go and bring on Steve for the news, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself real quick and so people out there know who you are and where you're coming from.
Okay. How I first, you want to know my first reptile?
That would be great.
Yeah. Growing up, we had... desert tortoises, illegal to have now, but we're talking the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how we got them. I was living down in La Mirada, and we had desert tortoises. And I was always fascinated by how they moved and what they did. Watch them eating apricots that fell off the tree, and hand feeding them like rose petals and stuff. Got bit. That's always fun. They bite hard. And then I got a alligator lizard. What are you guys laughing about?
Oh, we know what you're talking about.
they bite hard.
Yeah, they do.
That smug chuckle that, you know, it's that we know what you're talking about.
Been there. I've fed them before. They like
I can feed mine cheese.
Oh, man.
Can you figure? Go figure. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, then I caught an alligator lizard, a female alligator lizard. My God, I was young. Maybe 8 or 9, I don't know. We're talking a long time ago, 40 years probably. And it laid eggs, and I took an old Timex watch box. You know, the kind of – they used to come in cool boxes that had the flip top. And I put the mm-hmm. alligator lizards – eggs in there with a handful of grass from the yard and a piece of lettuce over the top, and I shut it and put it in like my toy cabinet for a long time, and then I forgot about it, and one day I opened it up and there's all these little alligator lizards in there.
Oh my gosh.
You know how they're cool? They got that gold stripe down their back when they first hatch.
Yeah, they don't have that reticulated motley look on their side.
Yeah, they got
like
a cool gold stripe down their back, and I opened them up, and whoa, I thought that somebody changed the eggs or something. I remember thinking that, whoa, somebody's playing with me, you know.
They're changelings.
Yeah, they're changelings. They're reptilian shapeshifters.
Well, don't get me started on that.
I know, huh? That's a cool subject. We could talk all night on that one.
Well, yeah, we could.
I'll tell you, but one of my ideas to do another show is to, if I ever do another radio show, it's going to be just like Coast to Coast AM kind of, you know, talk about conspiracies, UFOs, aliens, reptilian shapeshifters, all that kind of stuff.
Kind of like that, what's his name, Nori?
Yeah, just like Nori.
Yeah. No, that'd be cool. No, it is. And then what was the second ones I hatched? Were California Mountain Kings. I caught a gravid female. And I was probably in high school by then or junior high. And then the janitor at the school was really, he was really into reptiles. So he told him about it, and he said to put him in a cardboard shoebox with some peat moss and use a light. Use a, you know, just a regular incandescent light to keep warmth in there. Mm-hmm. And we did that in a 10-gallon aquarium. And a whole bunch of them hatched. And it started, you know, then I was into everything. I had reticulated pythons, Burmese, ball, you name it. Back then you could buy caiman at Kmart. Or I think
really?
I got mine at Zodi's. I think there was a chain store called Zodi's, and you go in the back in the little pet section, and they were like $10 or something. I went and bought a North American caiman from there, brought it home. My mom wasn't real happy, but that's okay. I was.
Yeah.
They're cool and they're young, but. They're like wild animals or something. they bite pretty good. They make that cool, that ew, ew. You know, that the little thing. Do you have that on your sound effects? The baby?
No, but we're going to get that. I want that.
Oh, you've got to have that. It's so cool. But they did that little ew, ew. You know how it goes. But, they do that. But, had him for a while, and I think my friend had a swimming pool in his garage, a little kiddie pool that we set up, and he had another one. We kept them in there until they got too big. And then we finally ended up taking them to the alligator farm they used to have across from Knott's Berry Farm. That was one of my regular places to go.
Wow.
Interesting. I don't know if anybody from Southern California remembers that, but they closed it down in 80.
I do remember that, but I wasn't in Southern. I was in Southern California from when I was born in 1954 until, you know, I was in seventh grade. So.
Yeah. No, I used to go there like every weekend on my bike or take the bus or something. And that, hey, give me a job. they got tired of me bugging them. They just used to let me in for free.
Yeah, but did they let you have a job like scooping poop or anything like that?
No, I was too young. You had to be over 18.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'd go down there and bug them all the time anyway. Because they didn't just have
okay,
hours.
Guys, hang tight. We got to get Steve on. He's been on for half an hour.
Yeah, let's get Steve on.
Hold on 1 second.
Time out for words of our
good evening, Gekkonians.
Happy New Year, Steve.
Happy New Year.
Steve, you rock.
Thanks. How you guys doing?
Good.
Better now that you're here with us.
All right.
Even better.
Okay, on your sci-fi conversation there, I'm a huge fan of sci-fi. One of my favorite movies, and I don't remember a lot of it because I saw it when I was a kid, was Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah.
But do you remember in Blade Runner where I think it was either a boa or a python, and they were talking about that they were extinct, and I think they were cloned or something. I can't remember. I just thought of that when you guys were talking about it, how there was a boa or a python in there that was cloned.
Wow, I don't remember that, but I've seen the movie, so.
I'm pretty sure it was Blade Runner.
Now I got to watch it again.
Yeah, no, it's been some years.
Good flick. And so was Soylent Green. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but let's
Soylent
not get off
Green
on a tangent.
Soylent Green is people.
Hey, I know.
That was a good one, God.
Oh my God, that just like, oh my God, this poor guy has to go to this little cell and lay down and watch this video of what the earth used to look like with trees and flowers and a blue sky and stuff so he could die.
Yeah, no, I when that came out, it was ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I remember watching that.
But anyway, we're getting you off track here. Sorry, Steve.
Okay, so leading into our first stories, I want to remind everybody to support U.S. ARC and donate to the Reptile Defense Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
And that leads us into our first two stories, which I'm just going to read the title of the article and then take a quote from the article to tell you what it's about. So the title is,
okay.
Don't even think about overturning the Python ban. That's the title. And the quote from the article is, the banning of four invasive reptiles was a good start. The pythons were popular with reptile breeders and collectors, but too many either escaped or were let loose in the wild. That's what the basically the whole article is about, and that it's totally opinionated towards whoever the author is does not want us to have the reptiles.
Mm.
Our next
Lovely.
Article. Yeah.
Big surprise.
Yeah. Our next article, snakes pose a threat. And again, this is referring to U.S. ARC's lawsuit. The spread of creatures that pose such a threat should be stopped. Let's hope the court sees it that way.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Jeez, boy. I hate hearing this kind of stuff.
There's bigger things in the world to worry about than someone keeping snakes. I mean, come on.
You bet. I keep pythons too. I know what you're saying. And they won't stop there.
Well, they start taking rights away from people, and they just won't stop. I mean,
yeah, it'll just keep going. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, and that leads us to our next story. In Grand Rapids, Michigan, a couple acquired a used couch and 2 months later discovered a boa constrictor living inside of it. The couple noticed the head poking out, so they cut the side of the couch open and got the snake out. It was really emaciated, and they had planned on nursing the boa back, but it had died shortly after being discovered, unfortunately. But it was,
I'm wondering how it got in there. I mean, if they didn't have it, it must have gotten in there from a different place or whatever before they got it.
Right. It was a used couch, so...
Okay, there you go.
Who knows?
Well, the boa was using it.
I like that they were, you know, it didn't say they had any reptiles as pets, but they were willing to keep it. I like that it
well,
said
that. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So, and I've got a couple more snake stories. In Fort Worth, Texas, a 14-foot albino Burmese python was stolen from its enclosure. The owners rescued the python in 2006 when they found it roaming an abandoned apartment building, and they've kept it since then, and there's a $500 reward for the return.
Wow.
So that's another rescue story, but unfortunately the snake was stolen.
14 feet of snake.
Yeah.
How do you stick that down your pants out of the door?
Yeah.
I know a few people who might even try that.
I'll be honest. You want to hear something funny, everybody? About 10 years ago, I'm guilty of doing something like that. I was visiting my family down in Florida, and my cousin Georgie had it's about a 4 foot long boa. Maybe about an inch around in diameter, kind of like a little bit bigger than a garden hose, so to speak. And I wanted to bring it home with me. I paid him $50 for it, and I wanted to bring it home with me back to Jersey when I was living in. I didn't know about shipping animals back then. So I put it in a pillowcase, and I stuffed it down the front of my pants, and I brought it home on the plane, and nobody knew, nobody was the wiser.
Oh, my God, snakes on a plane.
But back then, you know, you weren't searched like you are today, and you were able to get away with all kinds of stuff, believe me, bringing stuff back on the plane. And, yeah, so I'm guilty of that. I don't mind telling you, because I think it's kind of cool, actually, that I was able to pull it off.
Cool. Dave the smuggler.
Yeah. I got a lot of girls gave me their phone numbers, too.
I wasn't going to go there, but yeah.
Tell them
I didn't even have to ask.
Well, no, tell them they have to learn how to play the flute first, you know.
Right. That's as far as I'm going to go with that, though.
Sorry.
Don't get me started, guys.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. I had to tell that story.
All right, leading to our next story. In Oklahoma, a man discovered a dead 7-foot tan-colored boa or python with a diamond-shaped pattern. They didn't specify what species or anything. In his workshop, and where the constrictor came from is unknown.
Interesting.
It's going to be a tough one tonight, picking the false story. So, all right, our next story. In Dayton, Ohio, a utility worker discovered a 4-foot alligator in a bathtub in a vacant home. The gator was removed and is now in the Montgomery County Animal Resource Center. So somebody just left their 4-foot alligator when they moved,
wow.
Apparently.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. That's what we need.
Yep.
Yeah, that's another negative reason. I think gators are banned in most states anyways, but I don't know. If I had the room, I really like gators. I'd have a big old Nile crocodile, but it wouldn't do too good up here.
No, it gets a little cold up there where you are.
Yeah, a bit chilly for them.
You can always set it up in a really nice indoor, like spa-like enclosure, you know?
Yeah. Keep the deer out of my garden.
Yeah.
All right, our last story. Residents in Thailand discovered a 2-headed, 6-legged house gecko in their apartment, and the residents plan to care for the gecko and keep it as a pet. So that's pretty cool.
It was
a wild gecko that they found.
Did I see a picture of that, a photo of that?
Indonesia or something?
Thailand.
Oh, Thailand.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
That one's hard to believe, but I seen a picture or something circulating, but it was on the internet. It's got to be
real. Yeah, I saw something circulating, too, that had 2 heads. I didn't bother to count how many legs it had, but.
Yeah, no, it was like a gecko grown out of the side of another gecko.
Yeah, yeah. It was obviously a conjoined twin situation that, you know, one was a parasite possibly to the other one. But
yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Okay, so I'll give you guys a recap, and you can pick the false story. So here they go.
Okay.
Don't even think about overturning the python ban. Snakes pose a threat. Couple discover boa constrictor in couch. Python stolen in Texas. Resident finds dead snake. Alligator found in vacant home. And 2-headed, 6-legged gecko found in Thailand. One of them's false.
All right. Marcia, ladies first.
I'm always wrong.
So am
I guess
usually.
I'm just, like, really easily lied to or whatever because, you know, I'm gullible. I'm going to say the snake in the couch.
This is a tough week for a fake story.
I'm telling you, Steve is a trickster. It gets trickier and trickier every week.
It does, because you know what? I mean, almost anything could be real, really.
I'm looking in the chat room. Erica is saying stolen Python is false. Come on, guys, let's see what your choices are. Sean's saying the Python stolen in Texas. Angela can't guess for some reason. Jeff Scott's on there. He says the chicken bird wants to be on the air. I don't know what that means.
You didn't hear the cockatiel?
No, I didn't.
It's a chicken bird.
All right. The two-headed gecko. All right. Go ahead. Before I give my answer, go ahead, Jeff. What do you think is the false story?
The one where Dave's on a plane with the boa and no.
And I got all the girls' phone numbers, right?
Yeah, the girls' phone numbers. That threw it, Dave. No, I'm going to go with the 14-foot stolen Python. I just can't see how. I mean, it'd be cool to have one, but God, how do you get that out? I'm going to.
Yeah.
That's my final answer.
All right. I'm kind of torn between that story and the gator in the bathtub thing. I think I did see something about a like petrified gecko that was, or dehydrated gecko from Thailand. I did see something like that.
Yeah.
Some mutant, and I think it was a hoax. So I think that might be true. I'm gonna be different, and I'm gonna go with the gator in the bathtub as the false story. What do you say, Steve?
Oh, don't tell me you don't believe in Bigfoot either.
Okay. The false story is Python stolen in Texas.
Yay!
The false story. Yep.
All right. Do I win something or
all
just
right.
An attaboy? I get an attaboy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, but you know what, right. Though? It wouldn't surprise me if a python got stolen in Texas. I just don't know that it would have hit the news.
Yeah. Well, what do you do with a 14-foot python that, I mean, you'd have to keep it. You couldn't sell it. Hey, put it on
yeah.
Craigslist. It's, you know.
Well, if they start banning the interstate transport of big snakes, I'll tell you're going to see a lot more people smuggling them. And I'm just curious, like if that does happen, and you're driving from, you know, say one state to another, I mean, unless you get pulled over, how are they really going to know you're transporting snakes? I mean, I guess it's a very risky thing because you're going to get thrown in jail for a long time if they catch you. But
yeah,
you know, I'm just trying to think about it.
Yeah, but, you know, if they're going to ask, if they ask or require and start requiring, you know, like they're doing in Florida and have been for the last several years, and that's why a lot of vendors are really PO'd over, you know, at the Daytona show, you know, they're wanting, you know, written documentation on where did you get the animal. Who has
mm-hmm.
that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I mean, anybody with any kind of, you know, program on their computer can, you know, make up a really cool certificate or whatever. It's just, like for me, for example, and many of us, I'd have to say, well, I produced this gecko, and I produced this gecko's parents, and one of their grandparents I produced. So what else do you want from me? You know, how are they gonna?
I'll just say I got them from Marcia, and she produced the grandparents and great grandparents.
But I mean, so you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
How are they gonna, you know, require documentation? I mean, the last time I was at the Daytona show, they were. Arresting and handcuffing people and hauling them out of the show, vendors that didn't have written documentation as
oh
to the source of their animals. Yeah.
Wow.
I haven't been back to the show since for that reason.
Snake-sniffing dogs and, you know, like they got
maybe.
The drug-sniffing dogs and train them for reptile.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I never know.
I hope they don't bust some lady in a $5,000 alligator purse and matching boots.
Speaking of gators, I'd just like to say something that's been on my mind, especially today, and I think in the upcoming week I'm gonna make not an announcement, but I'm gonna bring something to light that I discovered. And I got to say that I'm personally am against the sale of baby alligators at reptile shows. I think it's bad for us. I think it's one of the major things that's going to destroy this or help to destroy this for us, because these animals are being bought for less than $100 by irresponsible pet owners, and they're being released in the wild when they get too big, and they're being released in areas that, of course, are not native to these animals. And this is a huge problem. And, you know, just like that story where it was found in a bathtub, I mean, this has got to stop. I mean, if you want an alligator so bad, go down to Florida and get one. But I don't think they should be so readily available up north at reptile shows. I think they should be readily available, period.
And that's because the majority of people that might pick them up would consider it would be like more, the majority of people, it would be an impulse buy.
Of course, and there's knuckleheads buying these things.
God.
These are not, these aren't people, these are, the people that are buying these things are buying them for shock value alone, and that's it. I mean, I see it, and it's very upsetting, and I don't think anybody should use these animals as a way to make a quick buck like that when it's literally destroying our hobby every time one of these things is discovered.
Yeah, their enclosures have to be too big, and, I mean, they're beautiful animals, they're neat, but I mean, they don't belong in captivity unless you've got a great big setup.
Right.
You know,
and that's the problem. And they wind up in the local pond.
Yeah.
And they either die or they become invasive. I mean, it depends on
they get discovered and they make front page news, and then there's another nail in the coffin of herpetoculture. And it's very upsetting to me. But I don't want to go off on a tangent. Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
All right. And in our herp history, on May 7th, 1936, I just thought this was an interesting little article. The title is Masked Police Grab Reptile. Police wearing masks and armed with poisonous gas enter a room of an evacuated hotel Wednesday to overpower a poisonous, not venomous, it says poisonous.
Poisonous.
Yeah. Black adder, which bit its keeper. The keeper was Edward E. Smith, billed professionally as Abul Saad, Egyptian snake artist. His left arm was amputated to stop the spread of poison, but he bore no malice toward his collection of 9 reptiles. You can't blame them, he said from a hospital bed. They were just nervous. So that was May 7th, 1936. I thought it was just a cool... The crazy reptile stories didn't just start. It's been going on for a long time. So.
Jeez. It just didn't have antics in them then. Just a saw.
Yeah. Yep.
Or anti-poison, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to have anti-poison back then.
Anti-poison. If anybody doesn't understand what we're talking about, there is no such thing as a poisonous snake. They're venomous, and people misinterpret and call them poisonous all the time, and it's not the right way to describe what's going on. But Steve, I want to give you the option. If you want to hang on with us and talk with Jeff, you're welcome to. Or if you have to go, that's fine too. But it's your choice.
All right. Yeah, I got to go tonight.
Aww.
Okay.
Steve, you did a good job on the whole showing my gecko spin around on your little thingy there. I just wanted to thank you in person.
Oh, that was very cool, huh?
Thank you.
All he needed was that song on there that goes, "You spin me right round, baby, right round, like a record, baby, round, round." You know. Hey. little spin on it, you know? Sorry.
I kind of like The Walking Dead scene was kind of cool.
I do, too. Yeah.
Yeah, good job,
Spin Doctors.
Yeah, thank
you. Well, great, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Steve, give out your information for everybody, if you don't mind.
You can look me up on Facebook and YouTube under BC Barker Creations.
Awesome. All right. We look forward to speaking with you again next week, Steve.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Later,
too.
Bud. All right, everybody. Our distinguished news anchor has left us, and we're coming up on the half-hour mark already. Wow, the first hour of the show went really quick. Marcia and Jeff, I'm going to put you guys on hold, and I want to play a sponsor plug so everybody knows about the awesome people that sponsor this great show. And when we come back in the second half, we're going to talk to Jeff about his projects, what he's working on, what's basically his interest in gecko, leopard geckos in particular. And I'm also going to put it out to you guys if you want to call in and ask him or I or Marcia questions. I see there's a couple people online. I don't know if you guys are listening in or not, but we'll take those. We'll try to take your call. But everybody in the chat room, the call-in number is 646-478-5331. Again, it's 646-478-5331. We will be right back, everyone.
Gecko Nation Radio is a David's Fine Geckos creation and production. You can visit the show's Facebook page at Gecko Nation Radio. I also have a great family-friendly group on Facebook called Gecko Nation. Apply for membership today. Gecko Nation Radio is sponsored by... Rainbow Mealworms is the largest worm grower in the world and selling to the public since 1956. If you need the highest quality mealworms, superworms, and crickets for your pets, contact them at www.rainbowmealworms.net. Gecko Boa Reptiles is your source for the highest quality leopard gecko morphs and wild types, from white and yellows to radars, amazing tremper morphs, and rare subspecies. John is a world-class breeder and extremely knowledgeable. If you're looking for something truly special in geckos, contact John Scarborough at geckoboa.com and on Facebook. abdragons.com is your source for the highest quality dubia roaches, whether you're starting a colony of your own or just need feeders for your insect-eating herps. abdragons.com can't be beat in quality or price. They are also a huge distributor of FlexWatt reptile heat tape and have very competitive pricing. Check out abdragons.com online and on Facebook. Dale's Bearded Dragons is your one-stop source for any reptile supply products that you may need, from Exoterra, Zoomed, Rapashi, Repcal, Fluker, and much, much more, and all at 20 to 50% cheaper than your local pet store or big chain pet store. They are also the biggest reptile supply distributor at most of the Northeast Expos. Contact them directly online at dalesbeardeddragons.com or message me on Facebook and I'll put you in touch with the owner. And if you're looking for quality food for your dubia roaches, crickets, mealworms, and superworms, look no further than MS2 Premium Insect Chow. Made with reptiles in mind, it contains no dog food, cat food, or chicken mash. Using only vegetable proteins and high-quality ingredients, MS2 Premium Insect Chow will have your feeders making a beeline for it. Contact mstent.weebly.com, or it can also be purchased at Rainbow Mealworms and AB Dragons.
Okay, everybody. We are back. I got distracted there for a second. We have Jeff Scott with us tonight, everyone. And for those of you guys that would like to call in and ask anybody, any one of us a question, Marsh is my co-host. The number again is 646-478-5331. I want to thank everybody that's in the chat room. I also want to mention one last time, not only is another new sponsor is Thad from Ohio Gecko. Ohio Gecko specializes in fat tails, some really interesting max snows with reduced spotting, just like really unique projects. So definitely check out ohiogecko.com and Gecko Forums. Awesome, awesome breeder, awesome forum. Everyone, please take advantage of our sponsors. They want to give you good deals. mention Gecko Nation or Gecko Nation Radio, and they are going to hook you up. All right? Just off the top of my head, I know for a fact that DavyDragon.com is giving 5% off any order using the word Gecko in the checkout. And they sell, you know, like the plug says, Duvia Roses and FlexWatt. So if you're building a rack or you need Duvias, type in Gecko and get a discount on your stuff. All right, let me bring back Jeff and Marcia. Okay. Jeff and Marcia. Welcome back, Jeff, and welcome back, Marcia.
We're back.
Here I is.
We are back. Yes, and I'd like to start off the second hour, Jeff, and I want to give you the opportunity now. I noticed that the chat room is filled, and by the way, thank you, everyone, for participating in the show tonight. I love when the chat room is filled. I know it's not always possible, not everybody can always get in all the time, but thank you guys for making that effort tonight and showing your support for the show and for Jeff and Marcia and myself. So now that that's said, everyone, call in tonight if you have questions. And Jeff, let's start off your conversation now with basically tell us what fascinates you most about leopard geckos and why you're so interested in them and why you've decided to become just a very prominent hobbyist in this area of herpetoculture.
Gosh. You know what's cool about leopard geckos?
Is that too deep for you?
Huh?
No.
I'm just kidding.
What
it
happened?
Was an open-ended question, so that means that he could go on and on.
Yeah, I could get like way out there with it, huh?
we're following you. We're following you.
Are you hearing my colors?
Oh yeah.
yeah. Have you ever seen an unhappy leopard gecko? I mean, look at them. They're always
Never.
Smiling. They always got a smile on their face.
Well,
you know?
I'm sorry. I've seen several unhappy leopard geckos, and I have scars and blood to prove
yeah.
it. But they did have a smile on their face the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got bitten here and there, but it's just little love, you know, little snippy love bites. But, no, you know what got me into them? In 2000, when I moved up north up here, a lady at the place where I work, her daughter had a leopard gecko that she was giving away, and I said, sure, I'll take it. And I took it. It was just a normal. And then I had her for years. And then, God, I got a blizzard. I bought a blizzard from a show, and I ran into a guy that had pure affies, the real dark affies. And we thought if we bred them together, we'd get, like, bold stripes or something. So we did that. I didn't, you know, I didn't know nothing about genetics or, the, you know, how they got what, or I just seen a few pictures here and there. I've only been on Facebook for maybe a year or two and discovered YouTube a while ago, you know, a couple of years ago. My kids' mm-hmm. daughters and everybody was on YouTube. And, Dad, you should get on there. They got cool videos. But, yeah, then I started getting into it, and, yeah, and the outcome was just like affies that we got with more polka dots on them from the blizzards, the speckleds. But I still have a few of those. Yeah, that's kind of how I got into it, and then just seeing everybody's stuff online and stuff. I watched a couple of Dave's videos, seen Marcia at the Sacramento show.
Yeah, I've been there every year for 15 years, except for once, and that's because I had spine surgery and I couldn't do it. Other than that, I've been there for 15 years. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you've been there every year. I've been there, and I've been going for 5 or 6 years, maybe. I don't know, something like that. But and I just I get on YouTube and watch videos. I've seen Dave's videos on YouTube. Of course, Matt. He's got good videos on there, and that kind of intrigued me when he started getting into the genetics. And there's a lot of weird stuff on there, too. You know, that you got to kind of take bits and pieces and see what works for you is what I found out.
But yeah,
there
I've seen
that. Marshall, type away, pounded on that keyboard.
Okay, sorry.
I wondered who was doing that. No, and then I seen Marsha's Rainwaters, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago at Sacramento. I don't remember how long ago it was. But I seen those, and it's like, whoa, I like those. And then I finally ordered a couple from her.
You did?
I worked those into a project I have going now. And you know, the tangerine-looking Rainwaters I'm coming up with.
Mm-hmm.
And then another guy close here, Pacific Gecko, I got some from him because I don't have to pay shipping.
Yeah, he's up there at Chico, right?
Yeah, Chico.
Yeah, he's a student there at Chico.
Yeah.
Actually, he lives in the city right next to me. He's got some amazing animals.
Yeah. Kyle, you don't see him on Facebook much. I know he has a page and stuff, but he's a young guy, but he's really cool. I talk with him for a few hours here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. His stuff really got me interested in it too. I seen leopard geckos way back in, God, what year did the first trimpers come out? 96 or 7 or something?
Yeah, way back.
I think
right?
They came out before that, but I don't think they were marketed before that.
Yeah, I don't think they were widespread, but I went to a reptile show when I lived in Southern California at the fairgrounds there, and I seen the albino leopard geckos. I didn't know they made them in that color. And around the same time, I seen the caratel, the Heinz caratel. And I've been in reptiles for a long time. I mean, I grew up in Fountain Valley. Prehistoric Pets was one of my...
Which one? The one in Fountain Valley. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there two now?
There always has been, but Jay owned both of them, and then he sold one of them off, so.
Hmm. Yeah, so, no, the one in Fountain Valley was called Exotic Pets or something a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then he bought the store next to it, and they opened it up and made it a huge, great big old place. You know, I used to go in there all the time and look at, they had a lot more lizards back then. I think they're mostly snakes now.
Snakes, yeah. They're into serpents now.
Yeah.
Mostly.
He had a bunch of, what are they called, from Australia, frilled lizards way back when. Prehensile tail skinks, they had, you know, and that was like heaven for a guy like me. You know, it was better than going to the zoo because, you know, you could actually buy these things. Well, I couldn't. I didn't have that kind of money. I mean, rainbow boas and stuff like that, they were way expensive back then. So were the trimper albinos and stuff at the reptile show. They were, God, I don't remember, but I know it was a lot, you know, for a reptile for me at that time. I was raising 3 kids.
Oh, yeah. Well, for anybody.
Yeah.
That has bills to pay.
Yeah, no, in fact, I think I took my son and middle daughter to the reptile show with me. But
I think you had both of your boys there, and one of them was just not in a very good mood, and he had a very sad face.
Hmm. Now I have one son and 2 daughters.
Oh, okay, well, I'm wrong. Okay,
yeah.
Scratch that. Let's back up.
Scratch that one.
We'll start over again.
It was
okay.
Some other kid. I'm all over the place. I'm all over the place. I'm like ADD kind of, huh?
you're in good company.
I know. I've noticed a lot of people in the reptile trade, hobby, whatever, ADD, big time. Like, hey, I can relate to these people.
all ADD is heightened intelligence, and you just get bored easy. That's all it is.
Yeah. Exactly. It can't be controlled because it's above and beyond anybody's scope of, you know, control. So
yeah, your brain's all over the place.
Exactly.
Many school curriculum today is boring for kids.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying many of the school's curriculum today is so boring for these really intelligent kids.
Yeah, what kind of intellectual stimulation are these kids getting? It's like, wait a minute, you know? They're treating them like they need to ride the short bus, but in reality what they need is like high school and college level stimulation.
Yeah,
exactly.
And they're misdiagnosed as hyperactive or...
Oh, my gosh. They give that to everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and they medicate the hell out of them, which I can't stand. I think that's crime to humanity, by the way.
Well,
yeah,
there's a grandmother that has a grandson that has, diagnosed ADHD as well as Asperger's syndrome.
Yeah.
Well, that's another whole show, but...
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, they say that these kids can't concentrate. Well, of course, they can concentrate. It just needs to be something that they're interested in.
Exactly. Yeah, that's...
Exactly.
Yeah. I can focus all day on, like, plant names or... because I do the landscaping thing or geckos or... It's something that's interesting, but not, you know... How the pilgrims came to America. Come on.
I think we've got a couple of callers on the line. But hold on. One thing I forgot, everybody. I just got to mention this real quick. Marcy from MS2, MS2 Premium Chow, is doing a special this evening in honor of the man who made the Roach Chow song.
Oh, hey, we gotta hear that song.
Oh,
Roach Chow, Roach Chow, Roach Chow, Roach.
That's the most annoying song on planet Earth right now. That's made by Jeff.
Yes.
Actually, Glenn put that together for us.
Glenn was the mix master on that.
<That's> great.
yeah.
So in honor of Jeff's appearance tonight. Marcy is giving a 1.5-pound bag of chow. That's a huge bag for $19.99 shipped. So that's basically coming all the way from Alaska to your house for $20.
That'll last a long time too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's going to be taken down this evening. So go to ms2ent.weebly.com and order now, or I'm sure she can take your order on Facebook as well.
Well, you've got to do this.
A couple callers online.
Okay.
What do you say, guys? You want? Let's try. Okay. All right.
Sure.
Let's see. Caller from 907 area code. I don't know if you're listening or not. Let's see. Caller, you're live on Gecko Nation Radio.
Hey, this is Marcy.
Hi, Marcy.
Hey, Marcy.
Hey, Marcy.
Hey, Marcy. Hey, Marcy. Hey, David.
How are you?
I'm apparently warmer than most people in the United States. So
oh, my gosh,
I guess
that's
I'm
what I've been seeing, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen you posted that.
Oh, I drove home in an ice storm pretty much tonight.
I can't believe it. I was looking at the weather on the North Slope where my husband works, and it's like -5, -10.
Ooh,
yeah.
And I was like, man, your nice weather is closest to his, and he's like, you know, on the Arctic Circle, and I'm like 34 degrees. It was like maybe 40 earlier when the sun was out, and I'm like, oh my word, this is just not right. But I'm not complaining because normally we're normally like 2 degrees in January and February, so I'm not complaining too much.
Hey, you might as well just like put on your bikini and put on your sunscreen and go out there and just soak up some rays, you know, even if they are coming in at, you know, an entirely wrong angle.
Northern light burn.
Exactly.
40 and 50 degrees, we're out there in shorts, and people are like, oh, my gosh, it's so warm.
Yeah, you know, it's warm here, too. Usually this time of year, we got, you know, an inch of snow on the ground usually, and we have none right now. And usually we've had some rain, and yeah, it's, I mean, I was outside today with just T-shirt and Levi's on. Usually I got, and I'm from Southern California, so I got a sweatshirt on, a jacket, and could. But not today. It was nice out. It has been for a few weeks now. It's kind of scary.
Hey, Marcy, thanks for giving us the discount tonight on the chow for the listeners.
I'm excited. We got new bag sizes, so that it will be actually two bags of chow, a 1 pound and a half pound bag. And
oh, cool.
So I'm really excited offering the half pound bag sizes for individuals that maybe not need a whole pound, but really would like more than just a 4 ounce sample. So we're real excited about that.
Would you would you like to direct any questions or comments to our distinguished guest, Jeff, tonight?
Absolutely. well, I just wanted to tell him that everybody's doing well. I purchased several geckos from Jeff, and I just have to say that I couldn't be happier with the geckos that I purchased from Jeff. I got an absolutely glorious white and yellow. She's an Afghan het blizzard white and yellow, and she's just stunning. She's one of those geckos that, like you were talking about, that's just always smiling, you know?
Yeah, no, she's from the original project that I started with the Afghan and blizzards. She's one of the, I don't know, great-grandkids or something like that. And then,
she's just incredibly stunning. You walk in and I'll be like, "Hey, Lucia," and she'll come out and smile at me, and she'll look up and she's like, you move a little bit and her head turns and she's like looking at you, and she's just precious, and she's just got like the most wonderful personality. And
good.
You know, stunning gecko. So also Urgley, which is my Max Snow Trumper albino giant. I think he's just, I mean, I don't know how big this boy is now, but I'm seriously contemplating getting him a much bigger tub because he's just ginormous.
Yeah, he was one of the bigger ones that, I don't know, you had your eye on him, and I said, all right. This is one of those ones, I guess.
No, boy.
But no, I'm glad they're doing good, and they couldn't be in a better home, that's for sure.
He just cracks me up because he's one of those little ones that does a little chirping when you pick him up.
Yeah, I have a few of those.
And I just chuckle, and he's definitely gotten more used to me picking him up and stuff, but it's like every now and then he'll do his little chirpy song, and I'm like, oh, he's singing the Roach Crack song.
Yeah, I taught him that. You know how many hours?
I'm like, oh, that's what you're doing. You're singing the Roach Crack song to me. I got it. and the Tang Grace is just gorgeous. She's just beautiful. So she really has the most interesting banding. So I just wanted to say that for anyone out there who may be interested in any of Jeff's geckos, I highly recommend you checking them out, message Jeff on Facebook, see what he's got available.
Because he never updates his page.
No, and he never takes pictures on time.
Yeah.
He sure posts he posts lots of pictures on Facebook from what I see.
Yeah.
This is the ones he wants to keep.
I want to keep them all. I do. When I started this hobby, I didn't want to sell them. I like them. But there comes a point where you got to do something with them, and you know you post pictures and people want to buy them, and it's like, gosh, all right.
Well, that's when it becomes something more than just a hobby.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it does. It's like when you get to the point to where what you're showing and what you're producing, you're obviously passionate about these animals, you know. So, I mean, you're posting these pictures, and it just drives me insane. I know it drives me insane. I see it, and I'm like, okay, now what? So anyway,
I want to make a good point about Jeff's presence on social media. if I can. And
yeah,
you know,
by all means.
A lot of people know what I'm talking about, especially all you guys that follow, you know, Facebook groups and Facebook drama and all that nonsense in the gecko and the reptile world.
That's my favorite part.
I don't follow drama. It follows me. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly, right. For those of us that get dragged into it sometimes. But anyway, I'd like to acknowledge, and that's one of the things that drew me to, you know, wanting to basically learn more about who this guy Jeff is, because he makes it a point to not only stay positive, but he's more or less a drama diffuser. And I really like your attitude, Jeff. And you know, if there's people going at it on a thread, he'll chime in with a funny comment and a funny joke. And a lot of times the post will take a different turn. And you know,
absolutely,
I think that's, yeah,
it is funny most of the time.
Well,
yeah,
it is.
Oh, thank you,
well,
Dave.
It's
I appreciate
true.
That.
What David said is absolutely correct. I'd like to ask you a question about your feelings and philosophy when you see this going on, mm-hmm. and you kick into a diffuse mode. How do you do that? And how do you view this? How do you see this? And how does it affect you? And how does it make you, you know, respond? Okay, that's a lot, isn't it?
No, not really. I don't know.
You can handle it.
I think a lot of it's just silly nonsense, so I just kind of join in, but maybe in a different light. You know what I'm saying?
You mean like so it doesn't make or break your day, right?
Yeah, no. It's about the animals. You know, no. Yeah, there's sometimes when I read threads and it kind of makes my blood boil, and then I remind myself that that's not why I'm doing this. I do it for my own enjoyment, and you know, no one's going to rain on my parade.
Yeah.
You know, and then I remember one time I was really upset with somebody. I'm sure you remember that too, Marcia. I don't want to bring that up again.
No, we don't need to bring that up.
No, but that
would
kinda
require a whole show in and of itself.
Yeah, yeah, and that's just not even worth mentioning anymore.
No,
but,
it's
yeah,
not worth it.
But it's just not worth it. I mean, God, it's the internet, and you know, the funny thing about Facebook is, you know, when people are talking, like in person, you can tell by their body language or facial expression. If they mean something in a malevolent way or something like that. But on Facebook, you really can't. So people read in between the lines and maybe take the wrong meaning away from it, of what people, mm-hmm. it's misunderstood, you know. And, and granted, some people are trying to be mean. But I don't know. I don't get all the arguing and everything like that. That's not what it's about. That's not what it should be about. Should be, you know, about the animals. And we're all part of this group, you know. Basically, we're kind of a subculture as far as society on a whole, you know. We're
mm-hmm.
we're the
mm-hmm.
freaks. We got Dubia that we bring into our house.
Hey, listen, sometimes I just pull out my Dubia colony and just stand there mesmerized watching them do their thing.
Yeah, no, it's cool. You
Does that make me crazy?
Yeah, no, I like watching them.
I do, too.
Everything about nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that's kind of why I do landscaping. You know, I know Dave always says, oh, I'm going to go meditate, I'm going to go do that. But everybody has their happy place. Mine is like being up in a tree, pruning a tree. You know, you're way up high, and it's kind of exhilarating. And if I get too comfortable, I look down, and I say, whoa, I'm in a tree.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know what? I'd love to get you down to Mariposa, because we would have lots of work for you to do there. Of course, you'd have to bring your whole family and, like, hang out with us for a week. But, that would be terrible, right?
Hey, yeah. Where's Mariposa at? That's outside of what, Tulare County or?
Actually, Mariposa, if you go all the way down 5 or 99 at this point to Merced, and you cut due east on Highway 140, it'll take you through the west entrance of Yosemite.
Okay.
And it's
gotcha.
The only entrance that's open year-round. So you have to go through Mariposa to do that. And
yeah.
So we're just a little bit south of, you know, that area. But we've got 5 acres that really, really need some help. But anyway, we'll have to talk on the side about that. But
yeah. No, what's your elevation there?
I think it's less than 3,000 feet.
Yeah, no, that's about the same here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, we get snow, but it doesn't last forever, you know, kind of a thing. It looks pretty, and then it's gone. And
yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Thank God it's gone. I don't like that stuff. Marcy's supposed to keep that up there in Alaska.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got more than enough. I just want to make a quick comment, and then I'll go ahead and hang up and let some other people call in. Jeff, you know, and kind of in line with what Dave had brought up, I can't say thank you enough for not only just being a good positive force and, you know, just being a good friend and someone I can speak to, but you know, for like when I go into a, you know, Facebook group and there's a bunch of drama going on and I see you put a post on there about turkey bacon, and it just changes everything.
It diffuses the whole thing, huh, Marcy?
It means the world to me because, you know, I try and stay out of drama as much as I possibly can. You know, I try and be as friendly with everyone as I possibly can, and it irritates me and it bugs me, and I have a hard time when people are at each other's throats, and it's like, I don't like it. You know, I'll just walk away. And I just love the fact that you can diffuse, you know, so many situations with turkey bacon or dubia casserole or something. And there's clearly times where I wish I could just go give you a big hug and say, you're just the bomb, Jeff. I love you. You know, and thank you for, you know, taking them off track and, you know, starting to focus on, you know, and then eventually we'll get into geckos and, you know, people will be like, oh, we're talking about geckos again. And I really appreciate that about you. You're just an awesome friend. Someone that I can be more proud of to call a friend and be more proud to own some of your geckos. And I know I will have some more in the future. And I just can't say enough good things about you, man.
Oh, cool. Thank you, Marcy.
Right on, Marcy. That's freaking cool. I agree.
Marcy's one of the people I talk to on message all the time.
Marcy's got a lot of love in her heart, and
she's a sweetheart.
Just awesome. She is. Really is. All right. I think we got Angela on the line.
All right. I love every single one of you.
Okay.
I love you too, Marcy.
Love you too, Marcy.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Marcy's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Angela. We have Angela online. All right. 1 second. Yep, right here. Angela, you're live on Gecko Nation Radio.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Angela.
How are you?
Hey, Angela.
What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Just recovering from a weekend.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah. So I actually want to just kind of keep with the fun tone of the show, and I wanted to ask all of you, actually, what's the funniest thing you've ever had happen with or to one of your geckos?
Oh, man.
I'll go last. I got to think
about that. Okay. All right. I'm going to just, like, dive in here because I've been doing this for close to 20 years, and I've experienced a lot of stuff. All right? Excuse me for, like, if I, like, steal the show here.
Go ahead.
So I was working, this is years and years ago, I was working with jungles trying to create bold stripes, all right? And back in those days, I didn't have a lot of geckos, but I, you know, I had a male and a female out of the pairing that I was working towards on each shoulder. Then I proceeded to go around and do my duties and all that, and then the one on the right shoulder kind of went behind me on the left. The one on the left shoulder kind of went behind me on the right. And all of a sudden, this tail started vibrating on my back.
She's got a gecko on her back.
And I'm like, I've got a pair of geckos that are breeding, getting ready to breed. I'm screaming at my husband, get the camera, get the camera. You know, we didn't have a digital camera back in that in those days. But anyway, so he couldn't find the camera. And let's just put it this way. Long story short, they did the deed on me.
Wow.
I can't top that.
Wow. That is God's honest truth. That happened, okay? And so, anyway, by the time my husband found the camera and everything, it was, you know, he was licking himself. That was the end.
Wow. That is weird.
And it was on me, okay? I mean, this is like...
And that's where her bold stripe project came from.
That's right. Hey.
Bread
Jeff,
on the heart.
You're absolutely right on that. That's just, it was the magic of them being on my, you know, upper back or my shoulder.
I think I have some of those.
You might.
All right. I have those jungles.
Jungle love.
Yeah, right. What about you, Scott? What kind of, you know, crazy things,
First thing that comes to mind is this season, I went into the incubator and I noticed I had some hatchlings in one of the GEOs and it wasn't moving. So I opened up the GEO and I'm going, now, you know, did it come out of the egg dead? It was just sitting there, little hatchling, and I touched it with my finger, and it looked up at me and screamed, you know, the scream they do, and I backed up real quick, you know, it's just a little gecko, but I kind of freaked out, and it jumped out of the GEO, and I usually do it over a container or something, you know, when I open them, but it jumped out of the GEO, and it ran in back of a, I didn't know where it went at that time. And I'm going, oh, no, where'd it go? And I'm looking around. I hear this faint screaming. And I'm going, where the heck is it? So it went back to the rack. It was giving itself away. It just kept screaming and screaming like, Daddy, Daddy. But it was
better than sonar, huh?
Yeah, no, it was pretty it was pretty hilarious at the time. I was just blown away by the thing. Those things are loud. I've heard them screaming from the inside of the incubator, inside of a GEO before I walk into the room. I hear that faint, wah, wah.
Oh, I've walked
hatch.
By baby tubs before and heard that screech, you know, and it's almost like that, you know, that movie Alien. It's that scream when that alien thing, like, came out of that guy's stomach.
Yeah.
It's almost like that kind of a scream.
It is, yeah, no, and I always jump, like when I put my hand in the tank and they kind of come at you and bite at you. It's like, God, this thing can't even get its mouth around
like
my finger.
And it's all badass, right? And it wants to, like, you know,
I'm like 6'3 or something. Like, I get all, yikes! But yeah, that was the first thing that came to mind. Dave, I think Dave already
to
told his with his boa thing on the plane.
I'm trying to think of like a really funny gecko related thing, and the only thing that really comes to mind is I made a video, like I was trying to make a video that to show people leopard gecko love, so to speak, and I think the title of the video is Leopard Gecko Copulation or Breeding at its Best and Funniest, because this male just could not figure out how to do this, and he was backwards and forwards. And
oh, they
around,
try to
going
breed their
down.
Head. They try, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was so comical. And other than that, the only other thing that was really funny, I guess, was I was cleaning tubs one day, and I had thought the one female in the tub had done, she was done laying eggs. There was no more, whatever. And, you know, I was just going through my normal weekly routine, and there was a little baby in there hanging out with a group of three adult females.
Oh,
and,
my God, she didn't get eaten.
No, they were all just hanging out together. And I thought it was the coolest thing.
Like, what's
but
that?
It was obviously an egg. I missed the egg in the lay box. I didn't even know it was incubating in there, but it incubated the whole time. It turned out that this gecko turned out to be the male that I needed for a project when all the other ones turned out to be female, and it was like a little gift that I really needed to make
cool.
This.
Gecko
so
gods
did you
intervened.
Hear the, did you see the heavens open up and hear the angels go,
oh,
you know?
That's how I kind of felt like, because I was really bummed out because I this one project that I was doing, I didn't want to, like, use something different. You know, I needed this particular male to complete it. I didn't want to humble myself and buy one from somebody else. So I was really working on it myself.
Or wait another year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it was, you know, I guess that's the other thing, Angela. But what about you? Do you have any funny stories from your experience?
I don't have that many funny stories. I did have an egg that was hatching earlier this fall that just had a little bit of a nose peeking out. And a friend of mine was like, I've never seen anything like that hatch. I want a picture. So I went to take the lid off the container and open up the container so I could get a picture, you know, with just that little bit of a nose peeking out. And the baby literally exploded out of the egg, all the way out of the container. And was staring across the shelf before I caught it.
Yeah, some dudes, you know, they come out running.
Well, she came out running. She's one of the sweetest babies I've got. You know, she
aww.
Loves to be picked up, but she exploded out of that egg.
That's great.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts of the whole thing is watching them hatch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just amazing that little creature comes out of that little, I don't know, jelly bean size egg.
Absolutely.
I've always been amazed like that. It's kind of like watching seed sprouts, you know, when they do the slow motion time-lapse photography.
Right.
The plant growing.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
Kind of the same amazement that it's really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, I mean, it's like there's three things that, for me, that I never grow tired of after 18 years, okay? And that is, number one, watching a hatchling come out of its egg. And number two is to actually witness the female laying her eggs, depositing her eggs.
Yeah.
That is, if you ever get a chance, I mean, okay, number one, of course, is watching the copulation and knowing that it's happening, but you know, those three things are something that can, or you it just is ingrained in your head as a gecko keeper.
Yeah, that always amazed me, like when they show, like, sea turtles, you know, they climb onto land and then they dig that hole and they lay eggs and do their thing. Yeah, that's and I've only seen a few of mine actually lay the eggs. I've seen way more hatch than I've seen the females lay the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I think they wait till it's quiet or I'm not looking or something.
Oh, they do. Yeah, it's a very, very, it's almost a spiritual experience.
Yeah, it's really neat. I like that part.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take this next caller. Angela, thanks so much for calling in. Excellent questions for us. Thank you.
Thanks, Angela.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right.
Bye.
Bye now. All right. Caller, I think I know who this is. Caller from the 570 area code. You are live on Gecko Nation Radio.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Landon. How are you?
Good. Landon. Hi, Landon.
Hey, there he is.
What's going on?
I have been running out of questions now because I call every time now.
But that's cool that you called. Hey, you're going to be remembered in history on these shows. These shows are going to go down in history someday. So you're a part of it. You should be proud to be on it. You know?
You're right, Jeff. He's a part of it. Absolutely.
But there's like
Dave,
nothing to ask, so I was just going to ask when everyone should be expecting like hatchling videos from you.
From
me?
Yeah.
Or Jeff?
Or anyone.
Okay.
I don't do videos, but...
I don't do videos, and you're lucky to get a freaking snapshot out of me.
Yeah, I know, huh?
I am the
worst. You're
going to
start seeing some from me soon.
Cool.
David, you're a lot better than, you know, most people I know as far as, you know, throwing up the videos and stuff, you know. But, you know, I hate taking pictures. because yeah. it's a three-day event, you know, so.
Yeah, it takes a lot of patience to get them to sit still, and I got a whole bunch of weird pictures of, like, tails or a hand.
Oh, sure, or the blurred escapes, you know, in the,
yeah.
out of the frame of, you know.
Yeah,
mine.
Every time I try and take a picture of mine, they stay straight, and then when I try to snap it, they run.
Yeah, yep. you get a good, oh, that's a perfect pose. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Ah.
Oh, no kidding. But you know what,
so
though, Jeff,
yeah.
you are so much better about posting photos of your animals than I am, and many other people too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't hardly see you pose. I got to go on your site and look at yours.
I just, yeah. Well, okay. I kind of spammed one of the Facebook pages with a bunch of pictures here lately. It was
Did
like,
you?
And I actually got a thrill out of it. I was going, "Whoa, this is cool!" You know?
I think I
yeah,
saw
actually,
that.
Actually, I just
Landon, I just want to let you know that. I put together a really cool, I just finally learned how to use iMovie, and I put together a really cool slideshow of the best of my 2013 geckos, so that'll be on YouTube soon. I think you'll like that.
Oh, great, Dave. Oh,
cool.
I'm looking forward to that, too. Yeah.
I'm so, like, computer illiterate. I just learned how to import pictures from a camera.
Oh, my gosh.
Can I make a suggestion, Scott?
Sure.
When you post random pictures of your geckos,
tell the people what they are.
Exactly. Okay. All right. So I'm not the only one that's like, you know, asked you for this.
No. Yeah.
It's just like eye candy, and it's like, okay, tell me more. Tell me more.
What?
You know.
What is
but
it?
You can only click the like button so many times.
Yeah, I'm working on a few things. I got a long ways to go.
Well, tell us what you're working on.
Hold on 1 second, though, guys. Hey, Landon, do you
okay.
have any other questions for us?
No, that was it.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Right on,
it.
Landon.
Cool.
Thank you,
Landon.
Good night.
Night.
More white and yellow macfascios.
Oh, you're just saying that to make me, come
gonna,
to my knees, aren't you?
I'm going to make you some this year.
Well, I want one. I don't have any or any white and yellows.
Yeah, I know. I'm amazed.
I don't. Well, okay. This isn't about me, but I'm retiring, so I'm not, like, buying geckos or adding geckos. But
yeah,
you posted a picture of a white and yellow cross with one of my macfascios crosses and stuff that just literally, made me, like, oh, my God. Tell us about your projects.
Yeah, that's one project that, God, I don't know, what was it, last year I got the macfascio from you or year before? I don't know. I went to the show, and I seen your macfascios, and I seen them online and stuff, but I went to the show, and then I looked at the person.
Yeah, I think you picked it up. It might have been 11 or 12, yeah.
Yeah, and I seen them at the show, and it's like, oh, my God, I got to have one of those. And, she's huge now. And her offspring are all big. I call
They're
them
really big and robust, huh?
Yeah,
and,
just great
and David,
eaters.
David, you've got some of them, too. They are very, very robust animals.
Really mellow.
Oh, let me tell you. It's my favorite, one of my favorite projects here, these macfascios, Marcia, that you stumbled on or that you made. Not only are the ones I have proven out to be only head eclipse, which is awesome, but
yes.
they're producing anything I pair them with. Is amazing. So this season, what I'm going to do is I'm only going to breed macfascias. I'm going to use my male and breed them to the females, and that's it. I'm going to make a whole bunch of them so everybody can have them, and I'm going to
okay,
totally
well,
cut
thanks
it to your
Okay,
well, thanks
for telling me, so I won't dedicate one of my pure fascio females. With
you'll get some macfascio super snows, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Which are,
yep.
I've seen, I forget who
I
posted
have
them.
Never seen, have yet to see a macfascio super.
Yeah.
I have a couple here.
I might make macfascio super white and yellow this year. There's
well,
a chance.
They're not macfascio supers. No, they're because I use my other rafter. They got fascio in it, but they're not macfascio supers.
Yeah.
Well, this is really cool. I mean, it's not like we're popping out new morphs.
No.
But we're doing things with existing morphs that nobody else has ever done. And you, you know, Scott, you've just, you know, you posted one time, and I just, you brought me to my knees.
No,
that just goes to show you what a new hobbyist can do. You know,
right?
That white and yellow Mac fashion was amazing. It caught everybody's attention.
And he's a male.
Oh,
oh nice.
My God! No wonder you wouldn't sell him to me. Okay.
No, I
didn't ask because I knew you'd say no. But
no, you put want and a big heart by it, and it's like.
I did. Yeah. W-A-N-T with periods.
Yeah.
You know.
All cap lock.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a hint?
Yeah. Well, this is what's really exciting for the hobby, Jeff, is. People who are, you know, and I don't want to call you a newbie because you are not a newbie.
This will be my fifth season.
There you go.
So,
okay, you've paid your dues.
Yeah, it's pretty new,
okay,
but
Jeff. Jeff, you've paid your dues. Okay, you're mainstream now. And after this show, you're going to be more than mainstream.
Yeah, I don't know. You're going to start getting attacked now, Jeff. Watch out.
Yep.
Sweet.
Yep. Sorry, you are doomed to the future of fame.
And
yeah,
now now they're going to say your lines are tainted. God only knows what else.
Yeah.
It,
cool.
It comes with the
I know how to handle that.
As soon as you have a following of 500 or more people, your lines are tainted.
Yeah,
it just
comes
with
it.
Oh, David, that's...
It's just automatic, huh?
That's freaking awesome,
pretty much.
David. Oh, my God.
No,
I'm sorry. I have to take a jab there, but it just seems, though, that, you know, when somebody becomes on the radar, you start getting noticed by good people and, you know, the people that view you as competition or, you know, cutting into their action, kind of, you know, so to speak. So, you know,
yeah.
I hope that...
No, there's room for there's room for everybody in this this hobby is the thing. I mean, there's tons of new people coming into it, and all the negativity and stuff, I would turn them away.
Good.
Jeff and I were talking earlier, and you made a good point, Jeff, that you were saying, you know, when you start doing this and you start breeding leopard geckos as a hobby. And I think everybody that's listening to my voice right now, and everybody that's in the Gecko Nation group at least, is either doing this or on their way. You literally almost have to turn into a kind of so quote unquote gecko breeder business, because what are you going to do with all these babies? They're so prolific, you can't keep them all. Sooner or later, you just have to sell them. And you know, for all of us that sell geckos, we're literally creating our own competition when we sell them. So you know, you have to have a kind of attitude that you know that's going to happen, realize it for what it is, and it's weird, but we're all able to still do this. We all get a piece of the pie, and I don't know, I think it's great, in a way.
I do too, David, I do too, and you know, you made some really valid points, so,
yeah.
I mean, what do you think, Scott?
I wish we'd had this talk 5 years ago. No, you're right, you can't keep them all, and God, I just do it for a hobby, really. I just want to keep my hobby going is my main thing. And then on the other hand is I don't want to post a bunch of stuff for sale for real cheap because it's going to mess the market up for people that do this for a living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just out of respect for the hobby and for other people. I mean, I do other stuff for a living. I do landscaping for a living. This is basically a hobby I just want to keep alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of where I'm at. But then I take into account, you know, the other people that, you know, this is their income. This is how they feed their kids.
Yeah.
It's how they keep their lights on.
But let me ask you, do you feel a sense of, like, you know, loyalty to them because you're obviously a sincere, caring, emotional person? And that in and of itself, trust me, I know, can either make or break somebody who's, you know, who's working in this you know, in this community, where do you draw the line as far as hobbyist versus, you know, professional?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, anytime you're doing something for money, you're considered a professional.
With
athletes or anything else, I don't know. I'm a hobbyist. I'm kind of in the on the fence kind of stage right now. Sure, I sell a few, and I do all right on them. I don't think I've shown a profit yet for everything I put into it. That's not even my motivation, really. Because, you know, if I had to worry about the bottom line all the time on this, like I do, you know, my landscape business or something else, I don't think I'd enjoy it as much. It's like, what's his name, Jeremy Turgeon that was on, what was it, last week?
Yeah.
He was saying is, you know, he's scaling it down a bit because he wants to spend more time enjoying the hobby instead of...
And you know what? It does, it can and does spiral out of control.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, a defined limit between, yourself as a hobbyist who does it because this is something you just freaking love to do.
Exactly.
Okay, versus... the business aspect of it. And there are in my opinion, after, you know, all these years, there are very few people who can combine both of those attributes. In other words, the passion for creating and raising these animals combined with business savvy.
Yeah.
You know, there's not very many people that can do that.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you kind of have to have the entrepreneurial spirit to...
Yes.
It's a lot about marketing and stuff like that. It really hasn't been my focus, the business part of it. And like I say, I do the landscaping thing, and that's... that's where I should focus more energy.
Well, that's what feeds your family, right?
Yeah, and feeds the geckos and everything else. But, and then I take money out of the landscape budget and put it into the gecko budget, and it's like, oh, I got to replace that somewhere. Well, I'll go work Saturday.
So you got to go out and, pound up some business, right?
Yeah, I go pass out flyers, knock on doors, make phone calls, take names, numbers, all of that. And, that's great because I that's kind of why I work for myself, because I like that part. I mean, I have a scheduled route Monday and Tuesdays. I do the lawn jockey thing. You know, it's a route. But the rest of the week is going out doing other stuff, sprinkler repair, installation, pruning. And I always have to sell that constantly. But the excitement of selling it, seeing if I can go do it, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Unless you work for yourself,
right?
You know, it's the excitement of it. And I do okay at it. I mean, I make a decent living, but I'm not rich by any means. But money's not the only thing that can make people happy. You know, it's
well, they think it does, but it doesn't always work that way.
No,
so yeah,
not at all.
Well, Jeff, I'm going to ask like one of these canned questions that, you know, people ask in, you know, interviews like this and stuff. Where do you see your hobby / passion going from now on? Like, let's just say in the next 3 to 5 years.
I'm looking at a wall right now I'd like to knock out and, and widen the gecko room. Did you hear the noise in the background?
Man after my own heart. There you go.
but you've heard that answer. No, I don't know. I just want to make quality animals that, healthy, strong animals. And, offer them to people and just keep doing what I'm doing.
Where do you see your role as a hobbyist versus, you know, a professional breeder, if that is even in the works? Where do you see your role in the next couple of years?
I just want to do my thing, man.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a bunch of.
No, that's a good question, and it's the insight that I often ponder myself. I really don't know how to answer it.
Mm-hmm. And that's fair. That's honest and fair. David, you're trying to say that there's callers.
We got callers.
Let's take we got time for one more call, and then we're going to wrap things up. So let's
get the callers in here.
Yeah.
All right. Caller from the 775 area code. You are live on Gecko Nation Radio. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hello? Not for me.
Can you hear me?
775. Yeah, I can hear you.
This is Jeremy Hughes.
Hi,
Jeremy.
Oh, hey, Jeremy.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Great. What's your question tonight?
I really didn't have one. I just called in to listen, and I didn't realize I had punched the button or not.
Oh, that's okay. Well, now you're immortalized on Gecko Nation Radio, so.
Yeah, you're on the spotlight now, Jeremy. Sorry.
Well, that's all right. I had to listen to a fellow neighbor as well, you know, because Jeff doesn't live too far from me.
Oh, cool. All right, well, I definitely think we have another caller. Thanks for listening, Jeremy.
All right, yeah. Sorry about that, guys. Have a good night.
Jeremy, right on. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
All right, caller from the 253 area code. You are live on Gecko Nation Radio.
It's just Elsa. I was just calling in to listen in case we went overtime.
Oh, okay. I understand. Now I know why everybody's calling in. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to stop taking calls. Yes, we are probably going to go into a little bit of overtime, but not too late tonight, guys. All right, Elsa. Thanks for listening. All right. Well, we are coming to the end of the show, and, you know, of course, I'd like to give, number one, our guests, and then we'll give our guests Jeff, you can have some time now to have any closing remarks, give out your information so people can find you. And, wait a second. Hold on. I think I muted Jeff by accident. Oh, my God. Jeff, are you with us?
Yeah, I am. Are you there?
Oh,
okay,
good.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
All right. I want to give you this opportunity, Jeff, to basically have some closing remarks and give out your information so people can find you out there.
Oh, yeah. Closing your mark, keep it positive. You know, do what you love. Love what you do. And for new people, don't get caught up in trends. Pick something you like and stick with it. And, you know, do what you like. Keep it fun. Keep it real. That's about my philosophy on the thing. I'm Magalia Gecko Project at Weebly.com. I think that's my site. I don't know. But, yeah, you can always find me. I think that's what it is. But you can always catch me on Facebook and shoot me a message. And if you need some geckos or advice or anything else, I can see what I can do to help.
That's awesome,
yeah,
Jeff. That's great.
Yeah, it's...
All right, Jeff, you're a great guest, and I'm so glad you came on, and I hope to have you back in the future when we do another show.
Heck
oh,
yeah.
Me too,
yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I have the luxury of being one of the few people who have met Jeff face-to-face. And I said it before, I'm going to say it again, he gives great hugs.
Yay!
Jeff, you're awesome, and I know that you've stopped by my booth at the Sacramento show more than once.
Oh, yeah, more than once
and,
on one show.
Yeah, and, you know, I couldn't be more thrilled to have someone like you coming into this business slash hobby community, I'm thrilled. All I can say is that you are, you know, a very important factor in our hobby and business and, you
our
know,
community.
Now my head's getting really big.
Well, that's okay. Go stick a needle in it, pop it, and then,
no,
you know.
You've been a big inspiration. I mean, when I seen your geckos at the first Sacramento show I went to, I was like, God, I got to have some of these. And it just kept eating at me. And it's what were those called again? Rainwaters. Yeah, that's it. And it was I wanted to make some of them, you know. And I'll be making more of the original pair he's going to breed again this year that I got from you. I gave her.
Well, you know what? That's great. And you know what? Keep me in the loop because,
okay,
you know, so far nobody has been able to create a bold stripe rainwater. Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I may have released the project a little too soon, but I couldn't be more thrilled that people like you and Yvonne and there's several other people who have, you know, that they've actually bought into this project. And
yeah, Yvonne's got something in the works too, huh?
Oh, she does, absolutely. And just between the two of us, this isn't about me, it's about you. I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier and sleep as good at night as I do knowing that people like you have, you know, have justified and really supported this, my last project, so to speak. And I just see nothing but good. And I think you're just freaking great. And
well, thank
I am
you.
So happy that you have been on, you know, this blog talk radio, you know, Gecko Nation, which hopefully can reach out to everybody, regardless of whose side they're on, quote unquote.
Yeah, and you know, I don't get caught up with any.
Yeah.
You know, I try not to. See
there
people
are no
try
sides.
I get tried. People try to drag me into different things, and it's like, well, how about them geckos?
Well, you know what? That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's what it should be about. I mean, right?
Yeah.
Isn't
absolutely
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool. No, I'm glad that you feel that way, Marcia. You've been a big part of my getting into the rainwaters, you know, and I got a huge rainwater project going. I'm working out some different things. I even,
mm-hmm.
And I even got some that are Head Eclipse Het Rainwater that are paired up right now.
Well, I'm really excited, and I'm sure all the other listeners out here are really excited to see where this project goes, this quote-unquote Megalia project.
It's a Mick Rainwater.
Mick Rainwater, oh, my God.
The one that I get from you, I call Mick Rainwaters.
Oh, bless your heart. No,
everywhere else they're Las Vegas.
Okay, but you know what? It's just a pleasure to know that there are people like you and David, all the listeners and the people that called in that are a part of this community, and it's humbling for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really humbling to know that, you know, that we could, that you as a prospective, you know, leader in this community.
That's some big shoes to fill.
We got a good thing going here, that's for sure.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
Gecko Nation is it's a good drama-free site, and I like it.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a safe place.
And you know what? It's everybody. It's all of you guys doing it for us. So, you know, it's not just one person. It's all of us that are making it what it is. So,
You know what, Dave? It's all about you for putting it up there and allowing us to participate in it. So
I don't want any credit like that because it literally took me 5 minutes to type in the
word. Well, that's tough because you're getting it. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want it. It's everybody else. It's all you guys that are doing so well.
You know, Dave, you're on a path. You're on the path, man, and that's what it's about. You're, you know, the
I'm gonna ride the wave as long as I can.
Right on.
Right on.
A wiser man than me told me once when I was bummed out a little bit over some things. He was like, he said, Dave, you're a train going down the track. Don't be bothered by the dogs barking at the sides.
Yeah, there it is. Keep your side of the street clean.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Very good.
All right.
Sean.
All right, everybody.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to let you go.
Scott,
first, Jeff,
it's been a pleasure to talk to you tonight, and I hope everybody else feels the same way. I don't hope. I know they feel the same way.
Well,
and, David, thank you so much for this show and for the opportunity to be a co-host.
Of course. Absolutely. And just so you guys know, next Sunday is Marcia interviewing me.
Cool.
I was going to bring it up and make, like, this big, you know, comment, you know, this big, you know, whatever. But, you know, I don't know how you all feel about this, but David needs to be interviewed.
He does. He actually does. We need to hear
David's
story.
He
loves
me for that. Yeah. We
and he
list,
and
so
I have this, like, underlying, you know, connection because we're both kind of, like, weird in the same way, which is really good. But,
I'm not weird.
Yeah.
Everybody else is.
You know what?
Right,
I think everybody needs to hear about Dave.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's cool. You know, I haven't been interviewed much, and that's fine. You know, I'd get a chance to, you know, speak my mind a lot on the show, but it'll be different to be on the other side and, you know, answer the questions and be the guest, and that'll be fun, I think. So,
well,
yeah,
it's going to be different for me too to be the, you know, the host or
the
question
main host,
answer.
Yeah.
No, you
throw
some good questions though, making me think.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the whole point, you know?
I need those kind of questions sometimes.
You know what?
Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah. No.
Even if we ask them of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap things up before we put everybody to sleep. An awesome show, again, of course. I seriously want to thank Marcia for helping me tonight and co-hosting. Jeff.
Yeah, thank you, Marcia.
Well, I hope I didn't, you know, bust anybody's, you know, whatever. But anyway, it was a pleasure.
Absolute
pleasure.
Yeah, great.
You do an awesome job every time. And we love having you both.
It's cool to be on
the back.
It's cool to be on this end of it. You know, usually I'm in the chat room.
I know. Yep. We'll have you back again definitely in the future, but
no,
absolutely, Scott. You know, you, like I said before, you're a force to be reckoned with. We're going to see wonderful and great things from you and your hobby / business in the future.
I hope so. It's all hail the gecko gods.
There you go.
You know? I just work with what others have provided, so it's cool.
Well, we all do, and
it
can be humbling, but it can also be a feather in your cap because you had the sense enough to understand and realize, you know, what you were maybe not 100% what you're trying to do, but what it's going to take to get there. And you deserve kudos for that.
Cool. Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody. It's good to hear.
It is good to hear, and it's good to say.
Okay, I'm going to do everybody. Thank everybody in the chat room. Seriously, thank you for tuning in tonight. You guys did great. I'm going to let Marcia and Jeff go. You guys, thank you again, Marcia. Thanks, Jeff.
Oh,
we'll
my pleasure. I love
I'm looking
all
forward
of
to
you very
week.
Much, and
we
I'm thrilled to be a part of this.
Cool.
All right.
Good night.
Take care. We'll see you in Gecko Nation. Both of you guys.
Yes, sir.
Good night.
All right, everybody, hang tight. I'm gonna play the outro, and then I'll come back with my closing remarks. Check this out.
Gecko Nation Radio is a David Fine Gecko's creation and production. You can visit the show's Facebook page at Gecko Nation Radio. I also have a great family-friendly group on Facebook called Gecko Nation. Apply for membership today. The jazz music you heard tonight was generously donated and created by Jeremy Turgeon of J&D Reptiles. Thank you very much, Jeremy, for the great musical pieces. You can check out Jeremy at J&D Reptiles on YouTube and on Facebook. And a very special thank you to our news anchor, graphic designer, and audio tech, Steve Barker. All the graphics, audio sponsor plugs, and music overlays were assembled by Steve. Check out Steve on YouTube at BC Barker Creations. He has some terrific videos for the herp community with amazing geckos and snakes. Please support the U.S. Herp Horticultural Alliance and USARC. Gecko Nation Radio is proud to support both of these organizations. Please donate to USARC so that they have the funds needed to legally protect pet owners' rights nationwide. You can donate to the USARC Legal Defense Fund at www.usarc.org. If you would also like to learn about advocacy and how you can take action on a state and local level, please subscribe to the U.S. Herpetocultural Alliance newsletter and blog at www.usherp.org.
All right, everybody. What a great show. It is what it is. We have an amazing hobby. We have amazing people in this. And they need recognition. The good guys need to be recognized. And Gecko Nation Radio is all about that. For the closing tonight, I'm going to play a cool song for you guys that I just found. I kind of like just cruise around on iTunes, and I pick random music, and I come across things I like. I hope you guys will like this song. And the lyrics are kind of cool, but don't take them seriously. I don't want any of you guys out there running any red lights. And everybody, have a good night.
We could just run them red lights. We could just
love you, Gecko Nation. Good night.